This morning, we're going to be looking in First Chronicles, all right? And so I know I feel like, whoa, the Old Testament? Yeah. Yes, we're going to dive into the Old Testament. We're just going to look at a couple scriptures there. First Chronicles, the fourth chapter, verses 9 and 10. I don't know, so let's just look at that. Let's look at that this morning. First Chronicles, chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. Heavenly Father, how awesome it is to have a Father that has an attentive ear, who is always there for us and hears our hearts and is more than willing to help us, regardless of what situation we may find ourselves in. This morning, Father, I pray that we would just take what was written to us in your love letter to us, that we would apply it to our lives. And Father, I ask that you would guide me this morning in, as to what I should and should not say. In your name I pray. Amen. I know maybe a lot of you have maybe not heard of this guy, but who by show of hands have heard of Bruce Wilkerson? How many of you have ever heard of Bruce Wilkerson? Nobody has ever heard of Bruce Wilkerson. One person. All right. Okay. Bruce Wilkerson. Well, he's the brother of a Wilkerson that wrote The Cross and the Switchblade. And so, oh, everybody knows that book. Okay. All right. So that's his brother. All right. So Bruce Wilkerson, he's the author of Prayer of Jabez. And it's not, he's written a number of books, but this particular book is a very large book, all of maybe 92 pages. And it's a small book. And it's all based on just a couple of scriptures, the scriptures I just read this morning. When this book hit the streets back in 2000, they initially only had 20,000 copies that they had printed up, and those went like they're gone. And so they went out in faith and printed another 70,000 more. And up to now, there's been over 4.4 million copies of this book that has been purchased, that they've sold. This morning, we're going to take a look at the Prayer of Jabez. Not the book, but the book, all right, and look at what it says it has to say. And I'm quite sure what was said then definitely applies to our lives now here in 2021. So who is Jabez? Well, he was probably before year 2000, his name wasn't mentioned too much, all right? But after the book, his name became quite popular, it was obvious. And so we know him as he comes to us in the Old Testament, First Chronicles, just to put things in context, this book was written some 500 years before the birth of Christ. And so it looks like what I've come to know is that the prophet Ezra is the one who inked this passage. And so when you look at First Chronicles, I don't know those of you who do your yearly Bible reading, and you come to First Chronicles, and you're like, oh man, can I just fast forward? I just fast forward through the first nine chapters of First Chronicles because it just lists name after name, son of this, son of that, and in the old in the King James, he begat, and so that's the way the first nine chapters read. But then we come to this portion of scripture where it says that Jabez was honorable and more honorable than his brothers. His mother called his name Jabez because she bore him in pain. Jabez called upon God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my borders." Some versions say, "Increase my territory." Maybe that's more familiar to you. But increase my border, increase my territory, and that your hand might be with you, be with me, and that you would keep me from harm. Some versions say, keep me from evil, all right? And so, and not bring pain, and God granted it. And that's it. That's all it's written about Jabez. And the sum total of everything is, that's it. One of, there's many people like, so when they saw Wickerson's book, all 90-some pages, and they're like, okay, so let me go to First Chronicles. And he's like, that's it? That's all there is about Jabez? Maybe there's some pictures or something, some illustrations. There's got to be something missing. You know, because who is this Jabez guy? Well, so what do we know? We know that he was named Jabez, and who was distinguished among his brothers. And there's nothing in print, there's nothing I've been able to find that says what distinguished him from his brothers. We look at him, and there are we look at all these names that are listed here in First Chronicles, some 886 male names, another 25 female names, and 25 nations are mentioned within the first nine chapters. How do I know? Because I Googled it and said, how many names are there? How many names are there mentioned in the first nine chapters of First Chronicles? And that's what I came up with. And when you're reading this chapter, there's already 44 people's names mentioned before we get to this ninth verse. There's no commentary. It's almost as though the writer, he was writing and he's going along listing these names, and he goes, oh, Jabez. I need to write a little something about Jabez. And then after that, he goes back to just listing these names. Speaking of the heritage. So, that's it. That's what we see there. So what is this prayer about? What makes it unique? His prayer, an unusual one, is just one sentence. It's a one sentence prayer. I think there's a lot of people that wish pastors would only keep it to a one sentence prayer so they could get out, right? But it was a one sentence prayer. And at the end of this prayer, things ended fine, extraordinary, right? Because at the end it says, and God granted his prayer. The next thing we learn about Jabez is how he got his name. His mother named him Jabez because of the pain that she bore during birth. And so, man, can you imagine if your name was associated with pain growing up with that? Do you not think that you might get teased a little bit growing up? Hey, there comes pain, you know, and it'd be a pretty popular name if kids were based off of that, right? It'd be more popular than the other popular names like James, Robert, and John, Mary, Patricia, and Jennifer, the top names over the last 100 years. Pain would be number one. So the word Jabez isn't actually a Hebrew word. It means to grieve or to be sorrowful. And without a doubt, bearing a child, there's some pain that's associated with that. Right, moms? I mean, oh, well, not even an A man from one mom saying the pain that that kid brought? Not one. Okay. Okay. They're still in pain, kids. They're not. They're not even. There's no amen to that pain. And not to mention that the pain during childbirth, but sometimes the pain that continues even today with your children. But we don't know specifically whether this pain was all physical or was emotional pain. We don't know when you read this book that Wilkerson wrote. He says we don't know what exactly the pain was, what it was related to. Maybe it was emotional pain. Maybe it was her husband had deserted her, or maybe already the house was full and they didn't have room for any more kids, just another mouth to feed. And not to mention, like I said, those having that name attached to you for all of your life. The next thing we're told here is that he was one who prayed to God of Israel. Now, that shouldn't have been a noteworthy thing, right? Praying to the God of Israel. Here the author is telling us all about the people of Israel. You would think that, of course, everyone would be praying, right? Or that some people should be praying, or maybe somebody's praying. But instead, he singles out this one man, and he says that the one who prayed to God of Israel. So what? And so it wasn't the act of praying that caused Jabez to be set apart. Then it must have been the prayer that he prayed. What was it that set him apart, his prayer that set him apart from all the others? It's not necessarily a pretty prayer. We all know those individuals that can just pray all day long a pretty prayer. But that's not the case here. And it doesn't seem like it's very flowery. There's not a lot of adjectives. And depending on what version that you have in front of you, the one that you're reading, there's only like 27 words to this prayer. And so it's if nothing to do with the length of prayer, nothing to do with the construction of the prayer, then it has to do with maybe the content of the prayer. What was that Jabez prayed for? Oh, that you would bless me and extend my land, extend my territory, extend my border. So Jabez begins with what seems to be a two-part prayer, but if you understand the Jewish style of writing, you will see that more oftentimes than not, it's written in parallel, all right? Parallelism. It's said in one way, and then it's said in another way. Like, go clean your room now, and don't let me tell you again, right? Okay, there's two different things said, but it means the same thing. So We have to recognize and understand the request that and what it means. The problem is that most of us have no idea what a blessing is. He's asking for a blessing. I think more often than not, we all bless our food before we get ready to eat. God bless this food that we ought to receive, you know. And maybe sometimes we say, oh, when somebody sneezes, oh, bless you. And it's kind of like blessing or bless has lost its original strength. Much like how we say, oh, I love you, right? Or because we say, oh, I love that hamburger. Well, come on, do you love someone like a hamburger? I mean, come on. In this, He says, this are blessings in now today. It seems like it's just like saying, oh, have a nice day. And a blessing is so, back in the day, was so much more than that. when the Bible speaks of blessing, it's just not a curses thing. Remember when you look in Genesis, you look at Jacob, maybe you're familiar with that story, Esau, and how his birthright was stolen, his blessing, the blessing that belonged to Esau, was stolen from him by his brother. How upset was he? Okay, there it is right there, Genesis 27:41. It says, now Esau hated, that's strong, he hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the day of mourning for my father are approaching, then I will kill my brother Jacob. So obviously, a blessing had a little bit more weight if you're willing to kill somebody over it. Definitely he was put out over this. So it doesn't sound like just a simple God bless you. The blessing in the Old Testament was a conveyance of God blessing on you. He was saying this blessing was like, I'm going to bless your family. I'm going to bless your finances, your spiritual life. In every area of your life, the Heavenly Father is going to be a part of that. I think sometimes we forget about that, how he wants to be a part of everything in your life. And what he wants each of us, our Heavenly Father, God told this story to the disciples. He said this in Matthew 7:9. Or which one of you is his son asked him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Our Heavenly Father says, I love you. I love you. You're my kid. It's not because you're smart, but maybe you are, okay? It's not because you're good looking or you're pretty. It's not because you've been good. It's because you're one of his children and he wants the best for you. And when we read that text, it says, even sinful people, evil people know how to give gifts to their children. So how is it that our Heavenly Father can bless you, give you gifts beyond what you could even imagine? What would happen instead of expecting the worst in your life, you would expect the best? What if you came here on Sunday mornings and said, okay, I'm here. What, coming here like that attitude is just saying, I'm here ready to receive a blessing. However it comes to me, through music, through word, maybe some encouragement from a brother or sister sitting in here saying, hey, I just need to let you know that I was praying for you this week. Yeah, our Heavenly Father, that's a blessing, right? What would happen if you went to work, or I know school is out for the summer, but what if you went there to pour out, you went there to get a blessing from him? What if you expected him to bless you in your marriage? Why not? Why, you know, saying, Father, bless my marriage. Bless my relationship. What if when you thought of telling others about Jesus, miracles started happening? What if you start telling people about the love of Jesus and your experience that people would say, man, I want that. I think as a kid, and I think a lot of people are under the assumption that our God is some big ogre kind of deity that's just waiting for you to mess up. He's got that 10-pound sledgehammer. He's like, go ahead, come on. I'm just waiting for you to mess up because I know you're not perfect, and you know you're not perfect. You think you're perfect, but I am perfect. I'm God, and I'm just waiting for you to mess up. I think I heard that a lot when I was a kid. I think I heard more that you're going to hell if you don't straighten up. I heard a lot of that. I didn't hear enough of, you know what? Our Heavenly Father loves you. And as it says in Romans, that there's nothing that can separate the love that I have for you. I think I need to hear more of that. But so often people are hearing that God is just waiting to beat you up for making the mistake. He's not like that. You notice that Jabez didn't ask for a specific blessing. He's not saying, hey, hook me up with a new chariot. Oh, I need a new tent, right? He's saying, increase my territory. Increase my area of influence. He's simply asking God to bless him. We can't even begin to imagine what God might have in store for you. There's a story that Bruce Wilkerson speaks of in his book, and I don't want to steal that thunder, but he says, and I can't remember the name, but I'm just going to say a fictitious name. This guy named Jeb. He'd been following the Lord all his life, and then finally the day comes, he finds himself on the streets of gold, and he's just mesmerized. He's like, wow, check this out. I'm in heaven. But he sees this building, if you will. He's like, well, what's in there? And St. Peter's like saying, oh, you don't want to go in that building. And Jeb is like saying, well, what's all the hubbub, bub? You know, why can't I go in the building? There's no secrets, right? And so St. Peter takes him in there. He goes inside the building and stacked box upon box, all these white boxes, file boxes with ribbons around it. And he goes, what are those? He goes, there's a box with each person's name on it. There's a box, and inside it are blessings. Blessings that were missed opportunities. Blessings in which he wanted to give you. And as he looked into the box, he walked away like, wow, I missed out on that. There are blessings that you are missing out on. There's blessings that he wants to give you. But just like a kid that's not being the best that they can be, it's hard to give a kid a blessing when they're acting up, right? I got an amen on that. And this prayer isn't greedy when the intent is, this blessing is to further the kingdom. God blesses his people to see the kingdom expand. You don't think he gives you all that just so you can, just for you. And Jabez continues, please bless me with all that I do and keep me from trouble and pain. In the New King Version, in a New King James Version, it says evil. That you keep evil from me. Kind of sounds like the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? Matthew 6:13, where it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. However, we read this first part of the same, and Jabez is asking to be in the center of God's will. First, he asks for a blessing and for God to expand his territory. Now he's asking God to control his blessing. It's not selfish. It's not selfish to ask him for a blessing. It's not selfish to ask him for protection. Your kids, you're gonna take care of them, right? You want to take care of them. Why wouldn't our Heavenly Father want to take care of us? It's just that simple. It's not a selfish thing. Hey, I'm hungry. I need clothes. Not just, I want clothes, I need clothes. It's not selfish. So to ask him to keep us from trouble and to protect us, there's nothing wrong with that. Often the only time we actually get around to praying, unfortunately, is when we're in a bind. It's like, oh, God, help me out. I'm in a bind. Help me out. And he's like, oh, man, why don't you talk to me all the time? Why is it only when you're in trouble you come and talk to me? It actually boils down to the question of obedience. If we pray that God will be with us and we do our part and stay close to God, he will stay close to us. It's only when we decide that we think we know more than God that we get in trouble. And I think each of us have experienced that. You think that you know a little bit more than God. And you're like, well, I'm going to do things my way, God. He's like, go ahead, do it your way. Let's see what happens. I think so often we mess around with sin, right? Remember last week I was talking about, you know, you just need to run as fast as you can. I think sometimes we think we're so smart, and we think we can outsmart Satan. And instead of saying, you know, this is the line right here, that sin, why are we always like on the edge, toying with it? Why is it that we think that, oh, I'm good? That's like saying an alcoholic saying, oh, I can go into the bar, I'll be good. What if it's like, oh, I don't have to worry about, you know, pornography. Oh, I'm in the room by myself, the door shut. Oh, I'm good. Really? You need to like take that door off the hinge. I'm just being real. Don't play with sin. Don't play with the evil one. If the line is there, you need to be way up here. You need to be away from it. Because if you get too close, what happens to you when you get too close to a fire? You're going to get burnt. Stay close to God. So, does staying close to God guarantee that everything's going to be okay? No, it's not. But what I can tell you, that if you're in a bind, there's no place I'd rather be than with the Creator, the one who put the stars into place, who holds the oceans in his hand. There's no place I'd rather be than next to him when things aren't going my way. We need to be obedient to him. When we are not, then it causes pain. Not just pain for you, but also pain for those you love. It's just not every time we're like, oh, it's just me. Because you're disobedient, it bleeds over. Bleeds over. Let me close. When as a church we ask God for a bless or extend our territory, it isn't so necessarily so, you know, it'd be easy to say, oh God, bless this church and bless this church so that we'll have a lot of people, so we'll have a big church. Lots of people. We're not necessarily praying for the right reason then, I believe. I ran into a person this week who said, and that I'm not going to mention it, but they're like, yeah, we used to be a part of a small church, but then they got big, they blew up, they're large. And they're like, you know, I love that small church feeling. There's that intimacy there. I want to be in a place where everybody knows my name. That my name is safe in their mouth. Oftentimes, I pray over at the food pantry before the doors open. Sometimes the people are there, sometimes they're not. But ever since I've been here for the last, at the end of the month, it'll be 4 years, I've always prayed that our Heavenly Father would increase our territory. Increase our span of influence. Not just so we can be the largest pantry, but because I know that when God blesses and increases our territory and more people are coming through the door, we have an opportunity to share the love of Jesus to them. Because there are a lot of people, who don't know Jesus. He's like, no way, everybody's got to know about Jesus. I mean, come on, it's 2021. But there are a lot of people that don't even know who Jesus is. The only way they use Jesus' name is in something vulgar, in a cuss word. That's the only way they know Jesus. But they don't know about Jesus, because if they knew about Jesus, I can't help but think that their lives would change. So I say, increase our territory at the pantry so people will come to know the love of Jesus. I would challenge you to pray that prayer. I double dog dare you. Pray that prayer every day. And come back at the end of the month and say, JR, that's just not working for me. Let me pray. Father, oh, that you would bless this congregation, this church, and these people. Please extend our territory. Please be with us in all that we say and do, and keep us from the evil one. In your name I pray. Amen.